the name of the one God, living and true, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I love this Sunday liturgy. I love this passage from John's Gospel. It is one of the few passages in the course of our worship year that is read every year. Every year of the three cycles of the lectionary, this gospel passage is read on this day. And this day being the eighth day since Easter. Now that is of significance to those of us who follow a liturgical calendar, because Easter, being the great feast and festival that it is, gets celebrated for 8 consecutive days as if it were the first. So even though last Sunday was Easter Sunday, today is still celebration of Easter Day. And so it is that this gospel is read, because it does mark out that same kind of time pattern. If we look at the gospel lesson, we see that Jesus appeared to those first disciples on the first day of the week, that being Easter Sunday, but it was on that day that Thomas was not with them. The gospel goes on to say that a week later, the following Sunday, the disciples were gathered, and this time Thomas was there, and again, the risen Lord appears to them. Each time Jesus appears to his disciples in these passages, he greets them with those marvelous words, "Peace be with you." And that word peace, as Jesus would be speaking it, is the word that we know in Hebrew, shalom, which is a wish for peace, not so much in the absence of controversy or of violence, but the kind of peace that brings wholeness to the individual. It is about health, physical and spiritual. It is about being at peace with one's own heart. It is about being reconciled to God. And so it is significant that each time the risen Lord appears to these disciples, he greets them by saying, "Peace be with you." That is the ultimate greeting, and is the greeting that we are bid to give to one another. Peace be with you. Health, wholeness, salvation. The real reason I love this lesson is because one of the main characters in this passage is Thomas. Now, those of you who are into social media kind of things, particularly Facebook, you get these little quizzes that come up once in a while. And they usually ask you to follow the quiz through, and the quiz will sort of give you an indication of what character in some story you are. Sometimes it's, you know, what a character in The Godfather. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm Michael Corleone. Then there's the other ones, you know, there's the ones about Harry Potter movies and all of the different Star Wars and all these different characters, and somehow, you know, different ways that you answer those questions, you become one of those characters. I find it interesting, because if you do it more than once, you usually get more than one answer. So not terribly accurate. But in a very real way, I did one of these once, and it was about the early saints, particularly the apostles. And not to my surprise, very predictable in my own mind and heart, I am Thomas. I am Thomas. Let's think about that for a moment. Why did Thomas doubt? You know, with that in mind, I kind of think Thomas gets a bad rap. I've said this before from this pulpit. Because Thomas, we give him the title Thomas the Doubter. But the real kernel of this story is not that Thomas doubted, but that in his doubt, Thomas believed. And so this is really about Thomas the believer. But it tells us something about faith. It tells us something about this character in the story, Thomas, who was one of Jesus' closest associates. He was one of the 12, we are told. And as such, he would have lived with Jesus, he would have walked with Jesus, he would have ate with Jesus, he would have laughed with Jesus, he would have cried with Jesus. He would have done everything as he went through his public ministry. He would have seen all of the great works that Jesus did, all of the works of compassion as he reached out and healed lepers and those who were blind and lame, when he reached out to those who were pushed to the margins of society, the women of his day, and those people like tax collectors and so on, that he would have seen all of this. He would have heard Jesus' teaching that sought to usher in a new way of living, the kingdom of God. Thomas would have been privy to all of this. And I think the reason that Thomas was not so eager to believe what the disciples were saying was that Thomas bought into Jesus' way, the way of Jesus, hook, line, and sinker. He was all in. And then something horrible happened. His brothers betrayed Jesus, left him. Jesus was arrested and scourged and suffered, humiliated and ultimately nailed to a cross and died. And maybe in Thomas' vision and his dreams, that killed it all. Everything he had hoped for, everything he believed, and everything he thought that Jesus was going to do was now gone and dead. And he wasn't going to put his faith there anymore. No more. Once burnt, twice shy, they say. Fool me once. We know all of the truisms that we use. And maybe that's what Thomas had in his mind and his heart. In a lot of ways, I was happy that little quiz brought Thomas to my mind and heart, because I am like that. You got to prove things to me. I want to see the numbers. I want to see the data. Part of that comes from the fact that when I started my higher education, I had no intention of going into ministry, and I wasn't a philosophy major or a humanities person. I was in the sciences. I was a chemist. And early on, they teach you to think like a scientist. They teach you to think in what is called the scientific method. And that methodology basically teaches you to be skeptical, and it teaches you to doubt everything, even the received knowledge that you're being given. And it is that very thing, that very attitude of mind and heart, that drives scientific innovation. Because if we simply received what was given and proven before, then there's no ingenuity, there's no testing the boundaries, there's no moving forward. And we see some of the very practical implications of that even in our own day, right here and right now. In the midst of the pandemic, for example, if we relied on the received knowledge about viruses and about how we make vaccines, we'd still be waiting. There were people who said there must be another way. There must be a new way. And so they began testing their theories. And they came up with a whole new way of doing it and a new way of producing it. And it all has now come to us and holds out to us a ray of hope that we will end this terrible time in our lives and in the life of our global community, if not immediately, at least in a couple of years. And we will be able to mitigate its effects, that as many people will not die. All because somebody doubted that the received knowledge wasn't enough, that there must be more. Think of that, and now think of Thomas. Thomas, as I said, he was with Jesus as Jesus' closest disciples. He had all of the data, all of the received knowledge, as it were, and now he was away. Maybe he was away because he couldn't bear to be with them anymore. His dreams had been so dashed that he just could not bring himself to be with those people. But in time, finally, he kind of comes around, and he rejoins the fellowship of those early disciples, those first apostles. And in that upper room, locked for fear, Jesus appears to them, and he knows Thomas' mind and heart, and he says, "Here, touch, see, believe." Thomas doesn't even need to do it. He saw for himself. He knew he could touch the Lord. And he says, "My Lord and my God." It is that faith that is born of that kind of doubt that is deeper and stronger than any received faith. Now, most of us were brought into the faith as innocents, usually as children. And so we receive all of this information and all of these patterns of doing things, and we're taught to raise ourselves up in that pattern, in those habits, and almost none of us asks the kinds of questions that Thomas asked. Few of us have those deep doubts, but I can tell you the reason I identify with Thomas is in my life I have had those moments when something would happen and it would just, the whole construct would collapse. And I wanted to cry out the way Jesus did on the cross, "Why have you abandoned me? Why is everything that I held sacred and dear now falling apart?" And no matter how long that dark time was, repeatedly in my life, there has been time when the Lord was with me, even though I could not see, even though I did not believe. And then suddenly, the evidence shows itself. Suddenly, it is inevitable in my heart and mind that I would say, "My Lord, my God, God lives." It impacts each and every one of us the same way. And it is only when we have those doubts and only when we ask those questions that, like the scientist, we find a new way, a deeper way, a broader way that Jesus has laid out before us. Sometimes we have walk that well-worn path so frequently that we don't even realize that it's Jesus' way until something calls us up short and we begin to realize that this path that Jesus has laid out for us differs tremendously from the ways of the world. And that in fact, the ways of the world will not lead to the life that Christ promises us. That's the import of this day. Yes, we say, "Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, hallelujah." But have we seen the marks? Have we touched the hands? Have we begun to see for real the Lord presence among us, whether it is in the minds and the hearts of scientists who can bring healing to people, in the medical arts and professions, whether it is in the generosity of people who care for one another, even in the darkest of times, whether or not it is people who finally do themselves come to faith when their dreams have been crushed? Yes. Thomas. We, in our modern age, are probably more like Thomas than any of the other disciples. So today is for us a reminder and a time of encouragement and empowerment that regardless of when and where and how deeply we may doubt, the Lord is there to show us the way, and we will come to believe. So call Thomas no longer Thomas the doubter or doubting Thomas, but Thomas the believer, believing Thomas. Beyond the doubt, beyond the questions, comes the life. May that life be yours in abundance.